I'm going to start a PowerPoint here. One moment, please. Hopefully everyone can see that now and you can see me as well. Greetings again, everyone. So it says I'm sharing, so I'm going to go ahead and begin. One topic that has divided the body or the church over the centuries is what days of the year should we be keeping God's commanded assemblies and holy days? The detail behind this question boils down to when does the calendar begin? When does a month begin? From the Bible, this is called when is the new moon? God's calendar is a topic that has many areas that can be covered. There are some that believe that God's calendar was only for the Israelites. There are some that believe to put mathematical rules around God's calendar is an abomination. Some have or do use the calendar as a form of special knowledge and believe that they are the only ones keeping the true calendar of God. What should our attitude be? Should we be able to calculate the next 20 years of God's calendar from memory? God gave the responsibility, at least we think he did, we teach that, to the Jews, something called the oracles of God. But do the oracles of God include that calendar? If the holy days are holy time, then how accurate do we need to be? The detail behind God's calendar could make for the most boring message ever, but I will do my best to make it interesting. So today I'm going to try to answer just a simple question. Is God's calendar calculated or observed? That would be the question I'm going to try to answer today. And I really cannot do that question, answer that question in one message. I've actually split this into two messages, but we'll cover some aspects of it in a minute. But the first thing we need to know is, why do I need to know this? Is this something important or something that is sort of a nice to know, but it's not required? Well, we have an interesting scripture in 1 Corinthians 11:13, and it says, "For there must be factions among you, that those who are approved may be recognized among you." And actually the NIV is a little bit better. It says, no doubt there have to be differences among you to show which of you has God's approval. And that word factions or differences is actually what we call heresies. And so the first thing is we need to hold fast to God's truth. That's a simple thing. We need to hold fast to what we know is in the Bible. But in this case, the calendar itself is not that definitive in the Bible. So where the Bible is vague or not definitive, the church leadership then has the authority to decide. And we'll get into that as we go along. So we're going to try to answer this question today. Is God's calendar calculated or observed? Now, again, we're going to split this into two parts. So the first part I'm going to cover is the importance of the calendar for us, and the problems with calendar or calendars, the observed, well, I call the definition or the explanation and the problems with an observed calendar, and then the calculated proofs or calculated calendar proofs and biblical evidence. And then for the next message that we'll be giving into the future, I will cover the postponements in this topic of oracles. So again, that's what we're going to cover today. So let's start now with this, the importance of the calendar or God's calendar importance for us. And I'm going to start in Genesis 1, start over in Genesis 1, verse 14. If you would like to turn there. And in Genesis 1, 14, in a New King James Version, it just says, "Then God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heavens to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and seasons and for days and years." It sounds like a calendar. Let's read that in the New International Version. It's a little bit better. It has some words that are a bit better. And it's, "God said, let there be lights in the vault of the sky to separate the day from the night, and let them serve as signs to mark sacred times and days and years." So the word here for sacred times or the word here for seasons is the word mole. It's actually spelled in Greek C-R-E-M, but it's pronounced moed. And what it means is it just means appointed times, appointed seasons, and seasons. And this is all referencing a calendar. It also means the tenth of meaning and things like that. This also leads us to an interesting question. Were the annual feast days established at Recreation Week? That's an interesting question. There are basically two camps on this topic, since the Bible does not definitively say. Some say it was, and some say there wasn't. I believe the annual holy days were not needed yet at creation, because Adam and Eve had not yet sinned. But as soon as they sinned, there was a need for some of the holy days, if not all the holy days. The weekly Sabbath was established at Creation Week. We see that in Genesis 2:3. Part of the reason the sun and the moon were created was for the weekly Sabbath, commanded assemblies, and holy days. It just says simply in Genesis 2:3, then God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it. So he created the weekly Sabbath. Moving on again, turn over to Leviticus 23. So in Leviticus 23, we're going to read about these annual holy days and some different points to talk about here. Well, the first thing is, I'm going to read verses 1 and 2. And the Lord spoke to Moses saying, this is Leviticus 23 and verse 1. Speak to the children of Israel and say to them, the feast of the Lord, which you shall proclaim to be holy convocations, these are my feast. The word feast is translated from, again, that word we just read in Genesis, moe. Also, it says that these are God's feast. Again, the feast. It also talks about, and again, when it says feast and when it says my feast, it actually means the word mole. Reading on in Leviticus 23:3, we going on to verse 5, we have some more definitions. 6 days shall you work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of solemn rest, the holy convocation. Again, we have the Sabbath day again being repeated here as it was in Genesis. And then verse 4, these are the feasts, this moeg, of the Lord, holy convocations, which you shall proclaim at their appointed times. And then on the 14th day of the first month at twilight is the Lord's Passover. We introduce here another new word for a calendar, and that is the word month. The word month is Kadosh. Now, there's other terms for moon, but Kadosh or Kadosh is the word that is typically for new moon or month or monthly or the first day of the month. And it's a very important word when we're talking about this topic of calendar. Now, moving on, we have a few places in Scripture that define what a day is. But here is one on down in Leviticus 23:32. And it says in Leviticus 23:32, it shall be to you a Sabbath of solemn rest, and you shall afflict your souls on the ninth day of the month at evening. From evening to evening, you shall celebrate your Sabbath. But here we have a day being from evening or sundown to sundown or sundown to evening. Over in Revelation, and if you like to turn there, you can, but that's not required. We have a calculation of a year. A lot of times it's called a prophetic year because the days in this particular calculation are not exactly the days of the year we follow today. Let's just read about this in Revelation 11:2-3. But leave out of the court, which is outside the temple, and do not measure it, for it has been given to the Gentiles, and they will tread the holy city underfoot for 42 months. And I will give power to my two witnesses, and they will prophesy 1,260 days. Revelation 12:6. Then the woman fled into the wilderness, where she has been placed, a place prepared by God, that they should feed her there again, 1,260 days. Revelation 12:14. But the woman was given two wings of a great eagle that she might fly into the wilderness in a place where she is nourished for a time and times and half a time from the presence of the serpent. Revelation 13:5. And he was given a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and he was given the authority to accomplish continue for 42 months. Let's break down this calculation. So time times and half a time equal 3.5 years. 3.5 years then equals 42 months. 42 months equals 1,260 days. And if you go through this process, you will see that a prophetic year is 360 days. You could actually say a prophetic month, though we don't see that very much in prophecy, is 30 days. And then we see this concept of 12 months. And in Esther 3:7, we see another concept that the normal year in God's calendar is 12 months. We also have the concept of a leap month or a leap year or something called an interclary, I think I'm saying that right, year. We find that with a careful reading of Ezekiel 1:8. Now, I'm not going to read that for you, but if you read that and it talks about Ezekiel lying on his side, the only way that could be accomplished is if we have one of these 13-month or leap year concepts. So what is the moon's role? Let's turn over to Exodus 34, please. And I'm going to actually read to you some scriptures about the moon's role, and then we'll read Exodus 34, 22 together. So it says in Psalm 104, he has appointed the moon for seasons. The sun knows it's going down. So the moon is appointed for, again, Moach, that's the seasons. What that means is that God's holy days are either connected to the new moon at the beginning of the month or the full moon in the middle of the month. Exodus 23, 15 says, you shall keep the Feast of Unleavened Bread, you shall eat unleavened bread 7 days as I commanded you at the time appointed in the month of Abib. So the month of Abib actually means green ears. This along with the timing of the wave sheaf shows that the unleavened bread must be eaten in early spring, or this concept of having the holy days occur in their prospective seasons. Exodus 34, 22 now, let's read this. And you shall observe the Feast of Weeks, of first fruits of wheat of harvest, and the Feast of Ingathering at the year's end. Now the Feast of Tabernacles at the year's end, the word there is tuaphah. And tuaphah literally means a circuit or a revolution or a cycle of time. This word is used four times in the Old Testament, and it's and in a couple of ways of terms of application. In connection with the Feast of Tabernacles, it implies that it should occur when the cycle of the agriculture year is complete, about when summer gives way to fall. Now, I want to bring up some side notes, some very interesting side notes here, and just talk about some, these are things that the calendar does, again, that shows its importance to us. One is that some insist that this word tuaphah means that the Feast of Tabernacles could not take place before the autumn equinox. To take this position is to take a definition from the Jewish Talmud, not necessarily the Bible. Also, another interesting point is that applying 360 points in a circle or a revolution is significant in mathematics. From that application, we get degrees, and eventually we get pi, and pi in trigonometry, and it leads on to much more higher math. Another area where 360 points is important is in navigation or a compass, which is connected to longitude and latitude. This all came out of this concept of the Earth revolving around the sun and 360 days. Now, so why is the calendar important to us? Let's do a little recap here. First off, God gave us his calendar. Next, it's how we count time, how we count the passing of time. God reveals his commanded assemblies and holy times. This is how we know when to keep them. It is shows us an importance or more importance of the sun and the moon. It's not just for light or for warmth. They have other purposes. It's one of the proofs we have a creator. It's used in prophecy. And the principles are found in mathematics and navigation. So these are all why things are important about the calendar. But let's move on to another topic, calendar problems, the lunar and the solar calendar. So the first issue that any calendar needs to address is how to reconcile the sun and the moon in reference to the earth. Let's read about that. So the earth rotates on its axis once plus or minus 24 hours. It's pretty close to 24 hours, but it's not exact. The moon orbits the Earth every 29 days, 12 hours, 44 minutes, and 2.801 seconds. The Earth orbits the sun every 365 days, 5 hours, 48 minutes, and 34.5 seconds. So the problem is that the month does not evenly, I'm going to read something else first. In every culture, it was common to establish a calendar relative to the lunar or solar cycle. That's how much pretty all calendars pretty much are put in place. But the problem is that the month is not evenly divided into days. Lunar months do not match the length of a solar year. The solar year is not an even number. And then once mankind moved away from God's given calendar and created different calendars, these problems became most profound. Did God make it hard for him to move, for people to move away from his calendar? That's just a question I have in my mind. Historically, the current calendar that we use is called Gregorian. It's named after Pope Gregory VIII, who introduced it in October 1582. The calendar was refined from what is called the Julian calendar, which had a 0.2% problem with the length of the year, and they were trying to correct that. And pretty much they were also working on, I'm not going to read the whole historical passages, but the Gregorian tried to fix this calculation for Easter. Easter has a very complicated calculation. Besides fixing the problem with the yearly drift, it was also trying to fix the count of Easter so it would occur at the time that they wanted it to occur. This is a pagan holy day. Another problem with the calendar is, again, this question, will the real new moon light or dark up? Now, the new moon, as we saw, is called a Kedush. It's defined in the Bible. Now, normally the new moon is considered what is called a waxing crescent, but that's not clearly defined. Some people say it's a waning crescent. Some people say it's what they call the conjunction, or when the moon is completely black. And also then you have the waxing crescent, as we see here. This is a little moon cycle of September of this year. there are some other Hebrew words, Yirah and Libanah, which actually mean new moon, but the people who, when they translated, the authors who translated the Bible decided to translate it with the word Kodesh, which sometimes means moon, sometimes means just month or monthly, sometimes it has all kind of different meanings. There is no disagreement in the Old Testament that the solar lunar calendar was used. The question is, how was it determined? It is assumed by many that the Hebrew calendar was based on observation as late as the end of the Second Temple period. But there are other sources that dispute this claim. The Rabbi Sadok Gaon disputed with the Karaites factions. These are factions within Judaism in the 8th century, whether the calendar should be determined by calculation or by observation. This can be found in a book called Sadon Gaon, His Life and Works by Henry Malter. And if you want those sources, they'll be in the slides later. Here's another situation with the calendar, a problem. Can the church leadership call time? It's sort of a play on words there, or Molech? Well, the answer is yes. Yes, they can. And we find these directives in Matthew 24 and 28. We find directives that the church is to preach a gospel and to prepare a people. But declaring a calendar was not mentioned. But we do find in Matthew 18:18 this verse, which I will read. And assuredly I say to you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. So God gave the church authority to provide clarity when situations are not clear. So the church can call what I'm calling time, or can say that this is the calendar we should use. Let's go over these problems again now with the calendar. One, sun, moon, and earth rotation does not divide evenly into a day, month, and a year. When is the new moon not clearly defined in scripture, and there's some argument over that. Normally, again, it's the waxing crescent. New Testament church not given specific responsibility for declaring a calendar, but then God gave the church authority to provide clarity. Let's just make that so make that comment. So let's get into now this observed calendar. What is an observed calendar? So basically you have several points. So the first thing is the day begins when the sun going down behind the horizon is sighted. Again, it has to be observed. The month begins when the new moon's waxing crescent is sighted. Typically the day or night after the conjunction or complete blackness, but it could be two days. And then there's some variants of this observation. These sightings, one variant is, must occur at something called the zero point, which is Jerusalem. There's another variant of this that says the sighting must be by you wherever you live. And then there are some that believe the day can be calculated, but the month must be observed. They have like a mix. It's hard to pin down sources on a formal definition of the observed calendar. Some of this came from my personal discussions with those who believe in observed calendars. I also learned some of this from Herbert W. Armstrong, Bob Fay, Dan Dowd, and others in the church through their writings and sermons and direct discussion. If anybody knows a source that actually will formally tell us exactly what an observed calendar is, I would love to read it. But this knowledge I'm presenting here is basically common church knowledge that has been compiled over the last 90 years. And as you will see, the problem with the calendar goes way back in our modern church. So let's go over with another problem with the observed calendar. No seeing, no calendar. So again, if you don't see, if you cannot see the sun or the moon, then technically you can't tell when the day ends or the day begins, and you can't tell when the new moon or the month begins. And this can happen with heavy cloud cover, heavy rain, fog, and other types of weather can block the sun and the moon from being seen. So we have a question. Did the calendar in scripture continue when the sun and moon could not be sighted? Do we have an example of that? Well, I believe we do in Noah and the ark. And let's turn over to that. That'll be Genesis 6. We'll just read through this Genesis story, and we can see that there's some interesting aspects here when we come to a calendar. First off, in Genesis 6, 9, it says that Noah was perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God. Noah was a man of God. And it says in Genesis 6, 16, for clarity, that you shall make a window. So the ark had a type of window. Many scholars say it was actually a hatch more than a window, and it was closed. And when it was closed, you could not see out of it. Moving over to Genesis 11, 12, we have a couple of scriptures that apply to a calendar. In the 600th year of Noah's life, this is Genesis 7, 11, in the second month, on the 17th day of the month, on that day, the fountains of the great deeps were broken up, and that's when the flood started. And then it rained on the earth for 40 days and 40 nights. Continuing with the story in Genesis 8 of Noah, so we have a statement where it says, the waters receded from the earth at the end of 150 days, the water had gone down. And on the 17th day of the seventh month, the ark came to rest on Mount Arafat. So we have and then we have the waters continue to recede until the 10th month. And on the first day of the 10th month, the tops of the mountains came visible. And then we have a very important verse. And then after 40 days or 40 more days, Noah opened the window he had made in the ark. Let's go through this now. 150 days between these months. So we have 150 days, we have 30 minus 17, or basically when we get to verse six, we have 223 days. And then we add another 40 days, we have 263 days. So it looks like for 263 days, this window was closed. Nobody could see the sun and the moon. Again, it appears that for 263 days, maybe just 40, but it looks like 263 days, no one on the earth was observing the moon and the sun, yet the calendar continued. I think this is evidence of a calculated calendar. Let's move on with another observation, another definition or problem with an observed calendar. If Jerusalem is the zero point for observation, then east of Jerusalem would keep the holy days at least one day late. So the Jews began to keep 2 days for each holy day. I'm going to cover this. Why? For ancient communication deficiencies, they really couldn't communicate that far east. So they began to celebrate these 2 days to make sure that communications would get out and people could celebrate the holy days, at least on one of the days for the right time. Modern Jews have questioned this, but modern Jewish scholars go back to a gentleman named Rabbi Hai Gayan. This is different than another one you're going to read about, Sanan Gayan, which states, be careful to keep the customs of your forefathers, to keep 2 days from the something called the Yom Tam. Basically what he's saying is, and they ask, why not state it simply, that they're keeping these 2 days lest there develop any doubt into what the correct day is. The part of the reason for the Jews keeping holy days for 2 days, except atonement, is the Jewish scholars are trying to cover all possible scenarios. There are some Jewish scholars that believe in a calculated calendar. There are other Jewish scholars that believe in an observed calendar. Of course, trying to please two individuals or two groups here causes confusion. But it's clear from scripture and clear from Leviticus 23 and Numbers 29 that the holy days are to be kept for 1 day. This goes down to 1 Corinthians 14:33 that also says that God is not the author of confusion, which of course, this is another point, an observed calendar is confusing. And I have some sources in the slides if you want to read for that further. Also, another problem with your observed calendar is the Feast of Trumpets. It is impossible to keep the Feast of Trumpets with a preparation day since the Feast of Trumpets begins on the new moon of the seventh month. Is God using the Feast of Trumpets to show calculated? It's just a question I have. Remember, you can't keep a preparation day and the Feast of Trumpets by observation. So now moving along, we're going to move along here to the about a calculated calendar. So what proves a calculated calendar and some biblical evidence? So the first thing I want to talk about, did God give the ability or talent of men and women to calculate a calendar? Well, we have a scripture in Exodus 31:11. I'm only going to read part of it. And it says, the Lord said to Moses, see, I have chosen Bezalel, son of Uri, the son of Hur, the tribe of Judah, and I have filled him with the Spirit of God, with wisdom, with understanding, with knowledge, and with all kinds of skill. So God filled this person with understanding and knowledge and skill. Was calculating a calendar a type of skill? Well, I believe it was, and I believe this can be backed up with a little bit of science, a little bit of math. If you go out to the Jewish Encyclopedia, you will read that the Levites calculated the calendar to this number here of 29, how many days in a month? 29.53059 days in a month. Now, some will say that the Levites could not have calculated a calendar. Scientists say they could not have. And so do those who believe, or some that believe, in an observed calendar. But if you go out to these moon, I took this off of something called Moon Blink Info, but these sites that actually have the scientific data on these moon sites, the modern calculation of the days of the month for a lunar cycle, the moon cycle, is 29.530059 days. That's the modern calculation. The Levites were off or wrong by 0.000001. Wow, were they totally off the mark? That's a joke, of course. But anyways, it shows you how close they were. They were able to calculate it during the time of the Levites to very close to what modern science can calculate it today. And I believe this is something that God gave some individuals in at that time, probably the Levites, that ability to calculate the calendar because he gave it as a talent or a skill. Another scripture we have, and it's a pretty significant scripture, and that's found that David and Jonathan knew when the new moon would appear, and that's found in 1 Samuel 25. And David said to Jonathan, indeed tomorrow is the new moon, and I should not fail to sit with the king to eat, but let me go that I may hide in the field until the third day at evening. So here David knows in the future when the new moon is going to occur, he didn't need to wait for it to be observed. We have another example in Zechariah. that in the future, God will change the lights of the day and night, but the calendar seems to continue. Let's read that in Zechariah 14. It says, on that day, 14:6, on that day, it will neither be sunlight nor cold, frosty darkness. It will be a unique day, a day known only to the Lord, with no distractions between day and night. When evening comes, there will be light. But on down in the same passage, it says, then the survivors of all the nations that have attacked Jerusalem will go up year after year, a calendar, to worship the King of the Lord Almighty and to celebrate the Feast of Tabernacles, an appointed time in that year. Yet the lights of the day and night have changed. Yet we still have a calendar. Is that because it is calculated? Again, calculated proofs and biblical evidence. Another big proof, I think, is actually the Feast of Trumpets. Let's read that again in Leviticus 23:24. It says, speak to the children of Israel, saying, in the 7th month, on the 1st day of the month, shall be, you shall have a Sabbath of solemn rest, a memorial of blowing of trumpets, a holy convocation. So this occurs in the 1st day of the month is actually the new moon. So if you really wanted to, let's say, knock out a observed calendar, why don't we make it just impossible to observe something? And that's what we have. Noah's Ark, again, we read that story, is easier to explain with a calculated calendar. We also have this from our own church history. They had a, you may think this is a new problem. It's not. In 1940, the church split, or a faction of the church left, over this calendar issue. And I'm not going to read the whole thing, but this is what Mr. Armstrong said. He said, unless God had preserved his sacred calendar through the Jews, then we do not know how to figure Passover or any of the holy days this year, for there is no authority for any other way. And that was what they decided. They decided that God gave the authority to keep the calendar to the Jews. So let's recap this section. So first off, we have the Feast of Trumpets begins on the new moon. And the only way you can do that accurately is to have a calculated calendar. Noah counts time without observing. We can see that in the ark. We can see that as part of the time. It seems that God gave knowledge and understanding and skills to people. Why wouldn't he have given the knowledge to calculate a calendar to those people that needed to know that needed to have that skill? David knew the coming of the new moon before the new moon was here. He knew the coming. He knew when it was going to come. Daylight and nightlight will change in the future, but the calendar continues. So the observation part goes away, and yet the calendar continues. The church leadership has been given the authority and has given clarity that they say that we're going to respect the responsibility that was given to the Jews and their calendar. And then again, an observed calendar is confusing and unreliable. As we said, as we looked before, cloud cover, rain cover, there's other things. You know, if you believe the zero point, then you've got issues going east and all this other stuff. So that will conclude part one, answering the question, does God have a calculated calendar or an observed calendar? I'm going to give this in two parts. So the next part I'm going to cover is something called the postponement and these oracles that we talked about. And just to give you a little taste, the postponements through mathematical calculation did occur during the years 30 AD and 31 AD of Jesus Christ's life. But again, I'm going to cover that at a later time. In conclusion, God's calendar is calculated but proven by observation. The responsibility of the calendar was given to the Jews. The Jews have methodically calculated the calendar, even renaming the Feast of Trumpets to Rosh Hashanah, which means head of the calendar or head of the year. I would like to close with the UCG summary statement. After a study of all the issues and papers, the Council of Elders has come to the conclusion that the Hebrew calendar is a valid calendar for Christians to use in setting the dates for the observance of God's holy days and commanded assemblies. While the major issues seem to revolve around the four rules of the postponements, which we will cover at a future date, the conclusion of the council is to accept the calendar using the current calculations and rules. The rules of the postponements are used in the establishment of the first day of the 7th month. And that's the key, the head of the calendar. Once the first day of the 7th month is established, then the calendar can be set and the first day of the 1st month can be determined. This in turn makes it possible to establish the dates for the holy days. It is incorrect to refer to the rules of the postponement as moving the holy days. While we must always be willing to listen and learn, in the absence of any new information, the council has chosen to confirm the support of the use of the Hebrew calendar, a calculated calendar, as the official position of the United Church of God. So next time we have this, I will go over those postponements, and I will go over some of the things about the calendar and relating to those postponements and why those postponements are in effect, and they are actually part of God's calendar. I want to thank you all for listening and have a great Sabbath.